This episode of the Nerd Up Podcast made possible in part by Eagle Theater. Visit them online at eagletheater.net. And by Classic Hits WTYE. Listen online at WTYEFM.com and made possible by proud supporters just like you. Intermission is over, and it's time to intermingle at the Eagle. Eagle Theater is thrilled to once again be bringing you the free Summer Kids Movie Series. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, June 8th through August 4th, bring the kiddos for some great kid-friendly fun. Doors open at 9:15. Adults are free when accompanied by a child. Seats are first come, first served. State COVID guidelines will be followed. It's the free Summer Kids Movie Series at Eagle Theater in Robinson. Learn more at Eagle Theater.net.
Sticks in concert August 19th in Evansville. Classic Hits WTYE wants to send you to the show. Be listening weekdays from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. When you hear a Sticks song, call in and get registered. Then every Friday in July, be listening to see if your name is drawn. If you win, you get two tickets to see Sticks in concert August 19th in Evansville. From Classy Hits 101.7 WTYE. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo
arigato. Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod host, Guilty Wilson. Nerd Up.
Welcome to another episode of a Nerd Up Podcast, the Nerd Up Podcast, the only Nerd Up Podcast. And I'm your host, Guilty Wilson, along with
Tony Collins. I am your Ed McMahon, for lack of a better term.
I like that. Ed McMahon, are you going to say, you're yes. Right, sir?
Yes.
I can deal with that. I've always wanted a name, McMahon. Actually, I want him to come to my house and present me with that big check.
I figure I can pull off Ed McMahon before I could do Vanna White.
Oh, okay.
I don't look that good in evening gowns.
Trust me. I don't know. The right fit, maybe.
The right cut.
All right. So this time around on the podcast, we've got us a special guest. And you probably heard a little bit of giggling in the background. Wait, men don't giggle. We chortle, don't
I
we?
I do.
Oh, do you?
I definitely do.
Yeah. I'm not sure what chortling is, but it sounds worse than it probably is.
Chortling, I think it hurts your throat or something.
It hurts something.
So anyway, we have Matt Skillern on the line with us. For those of you that have listened to the podcast before, when I've gone out to conventions, he's been one I've sought out and interviewed about his projects. And so I reached out to him and said, hey, Matt, we're bringing the podcast back again. Guess what? You need to talk to me. So he did. So
I'm always happy to talk to you, man.
And you know what? The hard part right now is, like, usually when I'm interviewing you, I have all this wall of your artwork that I can just stare at and just be amazed. But I don't have that. Well, I don't have any of your artwork here at the station. So we'll have to fix that. I got this really cool Guardians Kiss thing that we can bring it up here sometime. Yeah, that might work in here.
I cheat. I pulled up his DeviantArt page.
I see. So you're staring at it.
So I'm staring at some of the artwork.
Actually, if you go, that's an old page. If you go to at Skillful Studios on Instagram, that's got a lot of my new stuff. That DeviantArt, I don't even do anything on there anymore, hardly ever.
Well, it's got a lot of your artwork on it, so it's still out there.
man, I should get back on there and get active again, but I did that. Man, I'll bet I haven't been on there actively in 6 years at this point. Yeah, I look at some of that, and it's like, you know, you always see, like, you know, your development and what you were doing then, and some of it's like, man, I was working it out, but I'm definitely feeling a lot better about what I do now, you know?
Well, that was your training, and now you're into the professionals, I guess, now, so.
Yeah.
So absolutely. You said you took about 6 years away from that page anyway. Well, I got to ask you that. How did last year affect you, 2020, the worst year of the world?
Well, last year was a really weird year, and going into this year was a really weird year. But like a lot of people, I feel like, you know, we had more time to reflect, more quiet time, you know, which was good. But And I like quiet time because I'm kind of more on the introverted side anyway, so I'm pretty introspective and I like my quiet. But I had a full-time job that I was doing along with this, and I actually had been kind of wanting to move into doing this full-time for a while. And I've actually been my last day at my job was actually March 25th of this year. So I was kind of planning on, it was good. I departed on my own accord, right, which is, that's always nice. But, they didn't, you know, walk me to the door or anything.
Security's going to help you out.
Exactly. Well, yeah. You can either take the stairs or the window.
So,
but no, I ended up, I felt pretty good because last year I did better than expected with everything going on.
Really?
As far as my art goes. Yeah,
nice.
I did. Everybody was really nice. I don't know if it was, you know, stimulus helped or if it was, you know, tax time's always really good too. People are normally pretty cool about finding me out. It seems like people like to buy art around that time. But but yeah, I felt pretty good. I've saved a little money and I've been planning for this for a while, so far it's been pretty cool. So,
well, I saw something posted on, I guess it was on your Facebook page or something like that, that basically showed that you were retiring from your full-time job, or I don't know how the wording was. And I'm like, wait a minute, he's still a young guy.
Yeah, I'm youngish. I actually hit 40. I'm actually 41 now, which is unbelievable every time I think about it. But yeah. Yeah, well, I don't feel it.
Well, I'll lend you my walker if you need it. Well, now...
Hey, I feel as badass as I've ever felt.
Oh, good. That's a good thing. Now, so last year, there weren't as many cons, or there weren't hardly any. I went to a couple of horror cons last year, but they were very strict and limited. But since there weren't any of that, so you basically had the quiet time. Did you work on a lot of artwork?
I did. Yeah, that was the one thing. So that was kind of like the extra ingredient for this thing. So I kind of thought about how I was selling a lot of stuff on the, you know, on the internet or just through my pages and people getting in contact and whatever. And I started thinking, you know, there's not even any shows. Normally I try to do at least when I was part-time, which is really, that's kind of a joke too, because being a part-time artist is being a full-time artist. But,
right.
but yeah, like, I kind of started thinking, you know, normally I'm going to be doing shows along with, you know, this stuff. So it's sort of like once I get back into that, it'll be good. But yeah, I didn't do any last year. It was pretty much, I was going to do Indiana Comic Con, I think, and I was going to do Free Comic Day and all that. And that was canceled really quick into the year. So definitely kind of a bummer. But, you know, shows are a whole other thing. Like, I like shows, but, you know, sometimes it's like it's interesting when you go to those because every now and then somebody will ask me to be a guest, and that's cool because they'll comp your table and stuff. But but it's sort of a double-edged sword because, you know, all artists generally have to pay to get there.
Right.
And what's funny about cons is, like, you know, if they didn't have, like, the vendors and the artists there to do the shows, then they wouldn't have a show. But they make you pay, you know, pretty, some of them are pretty crazy table fees to do that. But anyways, sorry.
Yeah, and then
I warned you.
You did, and that's acceptable on the podcast. We ramble ourselves, so.
Yeah, the last episode we did was just Gil and I talking to one another.
Yeah.
A little history lesson about each other. So.
Okay.
There was a ton of rambling in that hour.
Well, now,
awesome.
So now on this year, are you planning on doing any cons this year? Because I see a lot of them are opening up. I know Indie PopCon's coming back, and I saw something about Indiana Comic Con, possibly. Do you have any plans for any?
I am, yeah. I'm planning on, for sure I'll be at PopCon, which looks like that's going to happen. Indiana Comic Con, they've again, they they pushed it back twice last year because they thought it was going to happen and it didn't happen, of course, which was makes sense. I mean, it shouldn't.
Right.
But as far as this year, the last email I got from them, it really looks like it's happening. So,
okay.
I don't know how it is. You're in Illinois, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it is there, but I mean, you know, we're Indiana, so...
You guys are free to do whatever you want anyway.
Yeah, I mean, things are starting to kind of, they're starting to kind of open up a little bit more. There's people who are, you know, a lot more people are vaccinated and stuff like that. So I think that I definitely feel safer about it now than I did last year. So.
And I don't know about Indiana, but with Illinois, along with the CDC, it's saying that, you know, you no longer have to wear masks outdoors or indoors if you're vaccinated. Now it's all that we're all a nation of trust now. We trust the other person had their vaccine.
Yeah, so, I hope so.
You're right.
I sure hope so. I mean, you know, I kind of, again, I don't want to get, I don't want to get into the whole thing with the mask thing, no mask, all that kind of stuff. I definitely, at this point, I'm just kind of like, I'm vaccinated. Like, so... If people don't, if they want to continue not to do the vaccination and not to wear masks and all that kind of stuff, go on and do it. But I'm not going to worry about wearing my mask anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just kind of like, you know, there's a, and again, I know people are, you know, there's all sorts of thinking about this. It's
right.
You know, like we're going to, you know, there's going to be nanites inside of us if we take the vaccination or something. I don't know.
Well, I got to be honest, I've been vastly disappointed. I am fully vaccinated, and I have yet to get superpowers.
I know, right? Although my 5G is coming in great.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because when I went to get my vaccination, they gave me the option for the arm or ass. And if you go with the ass, if you go with the ass, you end up with Captain America-type superpowers.
So I see. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That is...
Mine are starting... Yeah.
That is America's ass.
Now. Exactly. I'm the ass artist of America.
Sadly enough, the health department here in Crawford County did not give us that option.
No. And on those drive-through, they did a lot of drive-through vaccinations. That's one I went through, is the drive-through. And I'm like, oh, if they would have only asked me, I would have more than happy dropped trial right there in the drive parking lot. So.
Can you imagine the looky-loos driving by and my big ass is just sticking out the window?
Hit me! That would have been a lot more fun than, you know.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, it just be, I think there'd be a lot more takers if right. they were promised the super soldier serum.
I know, right? I would definitely have jumped in. I'd get all five of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'd do it just to be in better shape, you know?
Right?
That's pretty much it.
If they had one that said, give me a six-pack abs, I'd be on that one, too.
Yeah.
So. I just won't do that. All right, let's talk about you, Matt, not just the world. Now, I've got to ask in this time, I think last I purchased the comic from you. You were, is like issue number 3, maybe?
Yeah, issue 3.
Okay, is that as far as
I did right now?
Have you got any more on that?
No, I actually, I've been kind of working on this thing for the last couple of years, actually. It kind of got away from me. Like I said, like, it's weird. It's like when you're working and then you're doing commissions and all this kind of stuff, the personal things that you're trying to get done to sell on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that got pushed back a little bit. Like I really thought it was going to be done in like 19, and it ended up not happening. And then all the other stuff happened. But no, I'm doing something called the Freaking Future, and I personally think it's going to be the best comic I've ever done.
Okay.
It'll be hopefully a little bit more. What am I thinking? Like, you know, the comic's sort of like it would be kind of the right person needs to pick up that book sort of thing is kind of how I think of that.
Okay.
Like it's kind of a weird little book, a weird little one-off book. There's some personal things in it. There's some weird stuff in it. And this book, I think it's in some ways like that, but there's more like, I'm trying to create more of like a, it's stuff that I think about a lot, but sort of universal things.
Oh, okay.
the sameness, we're all the same sort of thing. But it's like weird and sort of funny. Like I want it to be, you know, kind of badass and funny is kind of what I'm looking for.
All right.
There's actually a character. There's a few characters. It's an anthology of stories. I've had these characters in my head for a while, so I just wanted to do something other than Lawrence, the amphibian thing, mm-hmm. which I love all that stuff, and I love that world. And actually, this world's kind of intertwined with that world. But I've got, like, you know, gods in this. I've got a god named Stargall and a god named Godhead. If, you know, why not, right?
Right, right, yeah.
But they're sort of archetypes of God and the devil sort of thing.
Oh.
But they're brothers in this story sort of thing. And then there's, I've got another character called Batar he's a barbarian who's transported to the future by a time wizard. And he's basically, in order to adapt to the times that he's in, he's sort of adopted this hipster sort of persona.
Okay.
So basically, like, he'll go, he's sort of like the stereotypical hipster. I can say that because I have a beard.
I was going to say.
But he goes to bars and things and, you know, hangs out, drinks, you know, craft beer and bourbon and shit and whatever. Yeah, exactly.
There okay. You
go. That pretty much hits everything about a hipster. He listens to. He likes stuff that other people don't like. Just kidding. But like,
before they're cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And when they're cool, he hates them.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just kidding. I've always think that's silly. Like, I'm always like, man, that's cool. I love that band. That's awesome. People like them now. But, he'll end up in these sort of pop cultural conversations with, you know, other hipsters in the area who are sort of those hate. I feel like they're kind of hater hipsters. Like
okay.
They're the ones who sort of ruin Star Wars for everybody. Like,
I hate those guys. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they just, you know, I mean, it's like they've had some problems here and there, but overall pretty good. I mean, they're fun. They're enjoyable. But like, he'll end up in these discussions and then he sort of reverts back to his barbarian ways. Uh-huh. So I'll let you fill in the blanks there.
All right.
And then I have another character called Neoma. She's the last woman on Earth. In a future with things called defectoids, and which are like these kind of mutated man monsters. And then there's another character called the Cosmic Creature, who's sort of like the most Kirby that I've ever gotten. Jack Kirby.
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically just two monsters fighting in that story, but the Cosmic Creature sort of, he's kind of insecure, and I'll just kind of leave that there. But he constantly has misunderstandings for a reason.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's always these, it goes back to I remember as a kid, my dad would, again, I'm rambling, I'm sorry, but.
No.
As a kid, my dad and I, you know, got into, like, he got me into comics, and I always remembered how one of the things that I'd always say is like, how come, like, you know, Daredevil and Namor are fighting, you know what I mean? Which it's a ridiculous fight to
right.
begin with, but you know, why are they fighting? And my, you know, dad would always be like, well, there's always, they had a misunderstanding and then they like come to an understanding sort of thing. but I was always like, but what's the misunderstanding like to where they just like beat each other up for 20 pages? You know,
right.
So like, I wanted to have like, you know, a story sort of like that, where like there's these two sort of big characters sort of battling it out a little bit. So
yeah, well, and then as kids, we always get in trouble when we, you know, have a misunderstanding with our siblings and beat the hell out of each other for 20 pages.
Absolutely,
Dad's like, you can't do that, but you said
it's a misunderstanding.
You just summed up a lot of my adult guilt.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot towards my younger brother. I feel bad about some of the beatings I gave him as a kid.
I grew up in a house where my dad said, sure, you can go swimming as long as you don't get wet.
So, yeah, limits. Well, nice. So basically, this is your therapy then. You're working out your issues in your comics. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, man, that's true. I mean, there is a lot of... know, there's a lot of, I think with every artist, there's a lot of you know, us and
oh, yeah.
what we're making. But yeah, this one is like, I really want to, so like just another aside with this, like I've got a bunch of like fake ads that I'm putting in here too in the freaking future. So there's going to be like, you know, you remember the ad in comics that was, you know, it was like the Charles Atlas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of getting sand kicked in your face thing.
Yeah.
So I've got stuff like that that are sort of going to be like kind of mock ads. Like I've actually rewritten some of the dialogue on that and changed a little bit and did kind of change the illustrations in those ads to kind of do sort of a parody sort of thing of those things as little breaks in between the stories. So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, just I want it to be fun. I want people to have a good time with it. I'm having a lot of fun making it. So.
Well, you know, even those ads and those old comics were life lessons for kids, because I don't know how upset I was when I found out the X-ray specs didn't work. It's like, wait a minute. That's a life lesson right there.
that's actually another one that I might do something with. I've got an idea for that one too, but I'm not for sure if that'll make this one or make the next issue, because I'm planning on doing a few issues of this stuff. So.
Nice. Now, recently, I jumped in on a Kickstarter you were involved with as I guess it was a compilation of several artists and writers. Tales of the Cryptic from the Cryptic Closet. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
And it's funny. I got to tell you, I want to tell people out listening to the podcast, if you can find copies of this comic and or the T-shirt and the sunglasses that they had on the Kickstarter, you'll lose weight. Let me clarify how this happens, because what happened is I got the comic, I got the T-shirt, I got the cool sunglasses that all part of the Kickstarter. I put on the T-shirt and the sunglasses. I took a picture of myself telling people don't be jealous. And, you know, just because I had a cool shirt from this comic book, and everybody says, did you lose weight? And even my dad called me up. He goes, are you feeling okay? You lost weight.
It's all about the angles, man. It's all about the angles. Shoot from the top down.
No, I swear it's the comic book.
It was the comic book?
Yeah.
It's got to be the comic.
Right.
Absolutely got to be the comic, yep.
So how did you get involved with that comic book compilation?
So the guys who run Guerrilla Publishing, which, you know, they're the ones who published that book, along with, I think, Cryptic Closet, I think, kind of helps with it, too. But we've done some shows together over the years, and I'm pretty friendly with some of those guys, and luckily they like my work, which is always helpful. So they actually asked me to do the first one, and I was actually finishing up book three of the comic during that time, and I really wanted to kind of get that done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up passing on that. The first time, and then they asked me to do the second one. And so I was like, yeah, man, sounds good. And they put me with this writer, Nate, Early, I think.
Sounds right.
I hope.
I don't have that in front of me.
he's a very, very nice guy. I'm not going to feel bad if I said his name wrong, because everybody always says my name wrong. So,
okay. Payback.
I'm just kidding. But he's actually a really nice guy, we're actually I can go ahead and announce this now, I think, but we're working on issue three. So
oh wow,
so I'm actually doing a story in issue three. I've not got the script yet for it, but I should be getting that. I hope I'm allowed. I'm assuming I'm allowed to say it. I guess if I'm not, you know, they're not in this town, so I'll be okay for a little while.
It'll take them a while to track you down.
It'll give me time to get in shape. I've been trying to work out again, so I'll get back in shape and be able to defend myself.
There you go.
Go ahead and get that. Go ahead and get that COVID vaccination in the ass, and you're good to go.
Exactly. Oh, I forgot about that. I should be fine. Yeah, I should be okay. Yeah,
now,
I'm good.
Is that when they're going to do? Are they going to do a Kickstarter on that one as well?
I would assume so.
Okay.
I would think they are. I think they did them for the first two. So I'm thinking they'll probably do a Kickstarter for this one too. I actually have, I think they gave me some comp copies for the last one. So I'll have those at some of my upcoming shows too. And I've got it available on my website as well. But yeah, I think they're actually, in some stores like in the Chicago area. And
okay.
I think they're working on getting some in Indianapolis, and, They're good, man. I mean, those guys are, they're really, you know, they're artists and writers too. Actually, Adam Farber, mm-hmm. Farster, Adam Farster. Jeez, he's actually an excellent artist and a really good guy. And then Julio's a great guy too, and so's Ben Miller. But Ben and Julio, actually, a lot of times if they come to Indiana Comic Con, normally they'll crash with me at my place while they're in town. So they're pretty good dudes. I know them pretty well.
Well, I'll tell you what, that comic, just one of the things that, well, one of the things that got me into comics in the first place was back in the 70s, my dad read all those creepy, eerie Vampirella and all those mm-hmm. black and white comics. And that, of course, first of all, I saw Matt Skillern's name listed there. So I was all in right there. But
thanks, man.
But then I saw that you guys were doing the black and white comic thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is. And you even had the one of the Cousin Creepy. I forget what. Similar caricature, and
yeah, I think it's the Cryptic Keeper.
Cryptic
I
Keeper,
think
yeah.
What he's called, or
yeah,
like
yeah,
that. Yeah.
And had him, and I'm like, I'm all in. So I jumped in on that one, and especially when I saw the T-shirt and sunglasses, and knew I could lose weight. So,
but until that this next hit Kickstarter and be like, hey, make sure you tell people that if you go, they go for these stretch goals, they'll lose weight.
Yes, exactly, exactly. That's why I did it. So. Like I said, I took the photo, and it's like everybody in my Facebook feed just all of a sudden thought I lost weight, and I'm like, yeah, no.
Which on one hand is a compliment. You're like, oh, thanks. No, you're right. I do look good. On the other hand, you think, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell are you trying to say?
Love it.
Yeah, I come into work, and Tony goes, you look normal.
You actually look exactly the same. I don't know what those guys were saying.
Yeah, so.
If anything, you look a little worse.
And that's because he's honest with me.
Well, it's good to have somebody like that in your life.
So right.
Good for you. I'm glad you have Tony. He's a good guy.
Absolutely. All right, so basically you got that project coming up possibly sometime soon. Any other...
I'll actually start drawing that in July, probably.
Okay.
I think it's, yeah.
All right. Now, yeah. Now, do they usually do their Kickstarter after everything's done, or do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll normally, I think they'll probably wait, because they'll have to wait on a lot of the art and stuff like that.
Okay.
Again, I don't have a date on it. I just know that it's kind of, we're sort of in pre-production with it now. So.
That's cool to know. I'll keep my eye open for that on Kickstarter for sure. Or I'll just keep an eye on what your page is doing, and we'll go from there and let you to tell me what to do.
That's what I like to see. I need more people like you, Gil. That's exactly what I need.
I need Matt to tell me what to do. Okay. Well, all right. So what other projects are you working on right now then? I mean, we talked about those books and then that project. What else you got going? Anything else? Or is that busy enough?
I'm always taking commissions. I'm kind of, commissions are sort of always open right now, as far as, paying bills and things like that. So I'm always down to take commissions. I've got, my prices are actually posted on my website, which is, do you mind if I say?
No, I was going to ask you to pimp yourself out in a minute anyway. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Yes. I'll do it a few more times if you let me.
Oh, anytime.
I'm shameless and lost my self-respect years ago. So.
Well, you're an artist. That tends to happen.
And you're in your 40s.
Yeah, I need all the help I can get here. It's skillfulstudiosart.com. So, I've got a store on there. I've got my commission prices. I've got my appearances, which are kind of limited. I don't have them all in there yet, but the plan's going to be I'm going to do PopCon, I'll do Indiana Comic Con, I'm going to do Free Comic Day. I've got some half-price books appearances that'll be announced eventually. And then I'll be at a local toy place called the Toy Pit probably at some point with the setup. And then there's a few other things that are going to be mixed in there, probably some other comic shop shows and possibly a couple other conventions. And then I'll be at a place called Riley Days in October. So, which is going to, it's like an outdoor festival. I don't know how it's going to be, but it's like 4 days.
Oh, wow.
I just wanted to give it a shot. Yeah. So,
and where is that at? Where's that located?
That's in Greenfield, Indiana.
Okay.
It's kind of like that like a big deal sort of in that area of okay. Indiana. It's like supposed to be one of the bigger festivals in Indiana. So, but I'll give that a shot. As far as other projects go, I've got a few things on the back burner, but I definitely want to do issue 4 of the comic. I definitely want to get that done at some point. The next thing I'm probably going to get going on, depending on how the freaking future goes, if people really like the freaking future and there's interest in a second issue, I'll probably get to work on that, and I'll probably work on some other stuff while I'm doing that, but I might try to pump that out more quickly. There's been a few people have asked me about doing a Kickstarter for that. The first one, I'm going to see how, you know, I might do the first run myself. If people seem to like it and I can get rid of it, I might look at maybe doing a Kickstarter for that.
Okay.
But yeah, there's another book that I've kind of started concepting out that I'm going to do called Boss Brawlers, which is, it's basically about basically like employees that are dissatisfied at work but are scared of their boss and can't, you know, like have maybe like kind of a bully boss and they have trouble dealing with them.
Uh-huh.
Sort of thing. I think we've all kind of dealt with that before.
Uh-huh.
There's a group, sort of boss brawlers, this sort of group. I don't know if that'll be the actual name of the group, but the title of the comic right now is probably going to be Boss Brawlers. But basically, people kind of find and come across this group through like hearsay, like I guess a good way to describe it would be almost like Fight Club.
That's what I was thinking,
like,
here.
there's this sort of under, you know, like you kind of know about it, it's kind of passed along, and you know there are people who you wouldn't expect. Or part of this and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm kind of thinking it's almost like A-Team too. Like they kind of are called into these bad work situations, infiltrate the company, and then end up eventually like confronting the boss.
I'm sorry, but in my mind right now, I'm going through and I'm getting Mr. T. I pity the fool that talked about Fight Club.
Exactly. See, in the 80s, that could have happened.
Right.
He may have been in that movie.
Yeah, he just recently turned like
70 eight, something.
Way
70.
Too old.
Yeah, oh, way too old.
Way
yeah.
too old. That's really all we need to say.
So now he's getting a gold chain with a diabetic alert on.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a med alert gold chain.
Yeah.
I'm falling and I can't get up, fool.
Fool.
Well, I have to ask from an artistic standpoint, you have a very distinct style to your
Thanks,
artwork. Bro. How did you fall into that? I mean, how did you develop that skill? Is it something that just came naturally, or is this from years of trial and error?
I mean, I feel like I started very similar to any other artist as far as, well, maybe not. There's a couple of things. When I was a kid, I always kind of say this, I was sick a lot as a kid. So I spent sick enough to where I was missing 60 days a year of school.
Week?
So yeah, I was very, very sick, like every other week almost sort of thing. And comics and film and drawing were kind of my life when I was a young kid. So I watched a lot of movies and I read a lot of comics and I spent a lot of time on my couch drawing. So a lot of times what I do is, ever since I was young, I mean, like I said, my dad sort of got me into comic books when I was young. So I would kind of look at those books and try to copy what I saw, or kind of, you know, if I saw something like the Hulk or something, I might just be sitting in class, pull up some paper and try to draw what I saw earlier, you know?
Mm-hmm.
but what ended up happening is like with comic books, eventually all kids who are into comics, I think, try to look at those things and try to like copy those things.
Right.
So for me, I was I grew up, you know, sort of in that 90s period. So, I looked at a lot of Jim Lee and a lot of McFarlane and a lot of Eric Larson and actually a lot of Jack Kirby too, because my dad gave me his collection.
Mm-hmm.
And Ditko, and Buscema, like guys like that. But kind of a mix of those things, like over time, I think, I love lines, like I love the line, period. Like mm-hmm. I like to put a lot of detail in things, and I like to vary the thickness, and I mean I very much just love that, but all the things you can do with it. So I think it's sort of, it's kind of, you know, I think inherently all artists kind of have their own sort of style within them that they sort of find over time. So some of it is, the more you do it, the more it just kind of comes out and is more recognizable.
Right.
But definitely, if we're talking, if that kind of goes into influence a little bit, I would definitely say, you know, Ditko, Kirby, Todd McFarlane, Buscema, Frank Frazetta. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not painting, but his line work, if you've ever seen his inks, I mean, I don't ink anything like him, but they're very inspiring. And then his subject matter, you know, he did a lot of barbarians and fantasy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that stuff, you know, really kind of hits home for me. Like, I like looking at it, and it's inspiring. Hopefully that kind of answers your question.
It does. Oh, and in fact, I'm thumbing through, the reason I ask is I'm thumbing through the gallery here on your mm-hmm. website, skillfulstudiosart.com. And, yeah. I am, you were talking about the line work and
mm-hmm.
it gives your artwork a certain amount of energy,
yeah.
even though it's a static picture,
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, you just, mm-hmm. you feel a mm-hmm. lot of movement and energy and,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better term, I guess, chaos,
yeah.
organized chaos,
I get that a lot, actually. That's a really good way of saying it. Yeah.
But yeah, it's fantastic. And it is a very unique art style, even though you are doing, you know, for example, right now I'm looking at a picture of the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda, mm-hmm. Mandalorian and mm-hmm. Grogu.
Yeah.
And even
yeah.
though it's a familiar image, it is done in a very unique style with your style. And I think it's fantastic.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Well, I'll tell
very
you,
kind of you.
I'm one of the proud owners of many Matt Skillern pieces of work, but the first one I ever got was one I commissioned. You remember this one, Matt? I'm sure you do.
Deadpool.
That was the first head sketch I got from you. But then I commissioned you to do the Guardians of the Galaxy Kiss Destroyer cover.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That's
yep.
the one that, I mean, every time I see it, because the Deadpool, it looked like just a, you know, Deadpool. It was a great,
yeah.
great piece of art. I got it framed sitting in my house.
Yeah.
But the Guardians of the Galaxy, I mean, it was so uniquely Matt Skillern art. You could, I mean,
mm-hmm.
and you went all out, and I don't know if I've ever told you how much I appreciate it, but it's one of the most beautiful things I've got. So,
well, and I
got
to be honest,
thank you.
I'm a little disappointed that it isn't here at the station.
It might, well, there's a place to hang it. I might have to bring it. It's a big one.
I've been listening to him brag about it all day, talking about this really bitching piece of art that he's got. And I'm like, dude, all of the random crap we have brought into the station and you left that hanging at home? Come on.
It might have that, might find a place.
Man, that like I remember making it, and I remember I put some time into that one.
Yeah, you did.
I had a lot of fun making that for sure. That was a cool piece, cool unique piece. So that was awesome. I remember I had this thing where I was like, well, I want to like actually make this like a album cover.
Yep.
So I had to track down like blank album covers.
Yep.
and then I didn't want to draw directly on it. So I actually had to like make it, I think I made it somehow. And then I like cobbled it all together. So
yeah.
it's like this.
Well, I've got it framed it's a double album and I got it folded open, and you even made sticker inserts for the records for me, so I've got that, and it's just really sweet, and it's just I just enjoyed it. And then I've also got a Swamp Thing versus Man Thing piece of work that you did. In fact, I remember you posted a picture of it, and I went and that week, and you said you were bringing it to the Indiana Toy and Comic Expo.
Yeah.
I drove directly there and came directly to your booth. I said, "Where is it?" That's mine.
I remember that. That was awesome. I was like, "Yeah, it's very, very cool."
Because that was a cool.
That piece, man. That was. I'll tell you what, man. You got a lot of jealous people. when you bought that, because there were a few people who contacted me for that one after it had already been bought. So yeah, I was glad that ended up going home with you. So.
Me too. And there's no remorse. Yeah. All you people that wanted it, I got it. Yeah. I have got no remorse at all because it's hanging in my aunt's closet. No.
those are two. Yeah,
just kidding.
It's underneath my dirty socks.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's very prominently. In fact, there's another friend of mine that's an artist. He did a Swamp Thing headshot for me, and I've got those two hanging together. It's just like a vital piece in my. It's actually by my stereo, so I can look at them every day. So there we go.
Very cool.
Now, for your artwork, do you have a preferred medium that you like to work in? Are you more of a pencil or ink or watercolor or digital? What's kind of your preferred go-to?
God, man, I'll tell you what, it's weird. It's like I definitely like ink. I love using ink, and I use a pocket pen, which is like a refillable pen, so it's got like a cartridge in it. I like doing that so that I don't have to like stop and dip all the time. But you get the same effect as like a brush. Like you can get that brushy texture. And then I've got these, I use a lot of stuff, man. I love art supplies and I experiment a lot. So, but I've got these, I use these, steel sort of hybrid pens, through also Pentel. I don't work for Pentel, by the way,
but
I love their products. They've got a lot of great products. So, but they, Pentel, if you're listening, give me a kickback, but give me some free stuff. But, I like their stuff, but they've got this one pen in particular. It's like one of the thinnest lines that I can get, with like a pen, but it's sort of like a ballpoint pen and like an artist pen, like a thin artist pen sort of thing, fine point pen, mm-hmm. Kind of a hybrid. But you get really nice line with that. But I like ink. I like doing pencil. Like sometimes I'll just do pencils, and that's pretty fun to do every now and then. If you go to my Instagram page, I just posted it was like a Conan Red Sonja and a Death Dealer thing that I did about a year or two ago. That I just penciled. And every now and then, like if I'm going to do, a lot of times if I do those three characters, I've done pencils for those twice, and I don't know why. I think it's just because they're formed, like it's more like drawing like a real anatomy for some reason, and Frazetta is part of it too, I think. But I want to do more of like a well-rounded illustration with that. Going back to what you're saying, like I work in a lot of different ways. So I do some digital. Mostly I'm traditional though, like pretty much everything will start traditional. I draw everything by hand, ink everything by hand. Right now I'm coloring the freaking future digitally though.
Well, I can tell you something, Tony. He did the Deadpool headshot that he did for me, the first piece that I ever bought from him. It was so funny. I got to tell you the story behind this is that Indiana Toy and Comic Expo, I believe. But he was up there, and he was Jason. What was the other artist there? Jason.
Jason Keith Phillips.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, one of my other favorite artists.
Oh,
he's one of my favorites. Yeah. Yeah.
They had a booth together, and they were both selling headshots. You know, that was part of the thing. $25 for headshot. That's every artist at every con. Yeah. They do that. Well, I went up to this booth, and he goes. Well, I interviewed him first for the podcast, and then I said, well, I'm kind of interested. And he goes, well, you know, $25 headshot. I'm like, oh, okay. And then he goes, well, for today only, we'll add a splash of red and for free. And I'm like, okay. And now I will say this, the red adds, it makes it almost look like a watercolor. The ink it was that he used looks like a watercolor. Yeah. And he used the red. But anyway, he goes, yeah, we'll add a splash of red. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, I'll get you back. Do Deadpool. He's all red.
Yeah, the whole thing's red. Damn it.
So damn, I got the getter.
Well played. Damn. Well played. Well, that's what I, you know, I'm looking at a lot of the artwork here on his website, skillfulstudioart.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it does have that sort of wispy watercolor vibe to it.
Where
the colors kind of blend and fade into one another. It's just, like I said, it's a fantastic, unique art style.
Yeah, and that.
Thanks, man.
I always say that the energy behind it is really good too.
I'm going to keep this guy Tony with me. he's going to be.
I'll be your hype man.
Exactly. You're my Flava Flav.
That's right.
For sure. I'll give you a clock. You're getting that clock necklace. No, both of you, man. You guys are both super cool. I appreciate that. So, the color that you're talking about, I do use a lot of marker, too. So, yeah. I'll use, studio markers a lot. And I also do some watercolor as well. But I use a lot of – I do mixed media a lot when I color traditionally. So, I'll use marker, and I'll use colored pencils quite a bit. I smear things sometimes. So I'll use I'll use paper towels, or I'll use t-shirts, or, just dip them in the ink and just kind of try to get the gradation that I want.
And that's why Matt is usually nude in most of these cons.
He's used all of his clothes for his artwork.
He's absolutely right. That's exactly it.
Well,
it's not because I'm sick by any means. I just like to be naked in public. Has nothing to do with that.
No,
but, I remember coming across what I thought at the time was an absolutely game-changing piece of technology in my art career, and it wasn't until I went to art class at Wabash Valley College in Mount Carmel, mm-hmm. and I, done art in grade school and high school, pencil sketches and that kind of thing. And all it is a rolled up piece of paper that comes to a point that allows you to shade smudge without using your fingertip and getting all of that
blender.
Nasty finger grease.
Yeah.
I ran across that and I'm like, where the hell has this been my whole life?
It helps, man.
Yeah.
It definitely does. It'll give you a clean look. It's funny though, man. Cause I remember, I have a cousin who's really talented too. And an artist, and when he was younger, I used to get on him all the time because he'd rub his finger for shading and stuff. I'd be like, dude, don't do that because you get your oil in there and it ruins the piece and all this kind of stuff. And my fingers are in my stuff all the time, dude. constantly, I'm constantly just smearing ink everywhere and pushing pencil around, but yeah, I hear you.
I figure, these are the first tools any of us had to begin with, our fingers. So, and they are the best tools. I know how to get the effect I want with using my hands, and sometimes that's the best way to go.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man, for sure.
All right, well, it looks like we're coming to a close on this episode of the podcast. Before we do, Matt, one more time, pimp yourself out. Let us know where to get a hold of you, how to find your artwork, and how to get a hold of you for commissions.
Okay. The easiest way to find me is definitely skillfulstudiosart.com. I've got a store, my store there. I've got my commission prices. I'm pretty easy to work with. I've got prices posted. If you come with me, come to me and you have a dollar amount in mind, I can normally figure out what we can do for that. And I can tell you, you're probably going to get taken. I'm too nice sometimes and really go way too far because I like making people happy. So generally speaking, you'll probably get a really good deal.
Before you go any further here, I got to vouch for that because that Guardians of the Galaxy Kiss smash up. All I wanted was the album cover, just a nice piece of artwork, and I get a whole album, two records. I also get all the sketch work that he did with it and the coloring experiments and stuff.
And see, that's a little trick. If you get an artist passionate about the project he's working on, he tends to go way over the top
and,
with it.
And he did, and I loved it every single piece. So. Yep.
Very true. Well, and also part of it too is you develop a rapport and relationship with some of the clients that you get. So, some of that, some of it's a thank you as well. Cause you've been really good to me and you've gotten a lot of stuff for me over the years. So I definitely appreciate it.
And my wife doesn't, by the way, but I do.
She doesn't appreciate it. She's like, no, I don't like that swamp thing.
No, that's not it. What'd you spend money on this time?
That skillin' again. Skillin' strikes again.
Yep.
So I appreciate it, man.
All right, we'll keep once again, skillfulstudiosart.com.
.com.
And what else you got going?
If you're looking for the cleanest way to find all my stuff, like the easiest way, I mean, obviously the site's great, but if I've kind of got a sort of a like a link tree on Instagram. So if you go to @skillfulstudios and just go to my bio, there's a link tree in there. I think it's like link Skillful Studios or something. It'll take you to like I've got the Freaking Future stickers on there right now. You just click on it. It takes you right to the place where you can buy them.
Ah.
And then I've got T-shirts. So like I've got like a Redbubble site store and I've got a TeePublic store. So both of those places are nice because it gives you a bunch of variety. So like if you want to get a shirt, you can get a shirt. If you want to get something with my art on it, so like a mug or something, or mm-hmm. or you want to buy stickers, you can do that on those places too. But I've also got my commission pricing on there too. So like if you just click on commissions, it takes you right to the page. And I actually have some commission specials going for conventions right now as well. So
uh-huh.
if you go on there and check those out, I've sort of got some discounted prices on those. So.
So someone's planning on coming to see you at one of these conventions coming up that you mentioned earlier. They can yep. commission you and then pick it up there at the convention?
Yep. And actually, if you end up coming to a show, I'll probably make that available to people who want to get a future commission. So, like, if they meet me at a show and we work something out, I'll probably make that the price or something, like do, like, a discounted price for people who see me at the show and want to do something. So.
And remember, kids, if he says he'll add red in for an extra... make sure you go something all red.
That's right. You know,
I learned my lesson with you.
Deadpool, Daredevil, Spider-Man, you know, something with a lot of red.
Damn it. Damn it. Yeah. Yeah. It'll be black Spider-Man with some red on the lenses.
There you go.
Or is that, or you go, no, I'm changing the color. It's going to be purple now.
Exactly.
Thanos. Yep.
Thanos, sure. There we go.
Damn it. There's always a character for everything.
Right? Especially Marvel characters, yeah. Oh, well. Well, I'll tell you what, Matt, it's been a pleasure talking to you once again, and I'm looking forward. I'll be at the Indie PopCon. I know that one for sure. So I'll definitely look for you there, and I'll be looking for you at any other thing. I'm going to keep an eye on your website and see if anything else comes up. And I'll follow you around. I'm a Skillern head.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. I'm a Gillhead, too. I like you, too, so I appreciate
right on.
I appreciate your dedication and your support over the years, man. Really, you're a good dude. So.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And that's why I started this whole podcast thing anyways, to help promote fun stuff.
Absolutely.
So,
and that's why I weaseled my way onto it.
So... All right, well, Matt, once very again, cool. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to put a link on the actual nerduppodcast.com website under this podcast. You'll see, so if anybody wants to go there, they can actually click on that link. It'll send to your website, skillfulstudiosart.com. And if I can find a way to link to your Instagram, I'll do that in a clean way. So, but I'll provide people with links to your stuff as well. So.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
Once again, thanks for joining us. Good luck for everything in the future, and I look forward to more work from you.
Hey, thanks, Gil. Appreciate it. Hey, nice meeting you, Tony.
You too. I appreciate you talking to us today.
Absolutely. Any final words, Tony?
I would just encourage everybody to check him out on the web. Make sure you check out some of his art. Like I said, I'm a fan. I think it is some very, very cool looking stuff.
See?
Thank you.
And that's what we do here is find real artwork and help people know about it. All right, so that's another episode of the podcast. I'm Gil T. Wilson along with
Tony Collins.
And like we say at the end of every episode, stay nerdy.
It's time to celebrate the triumphant return of Crawford County's only live radio variety show,
Live at the Five.
Gil T. Wilson and Rachel Carter will host with special musical guests and some great interviews.
The best part is
you can now be a member of the live audience. Tickets are only $10. Seating is limited, so get your tickets now at the Rocking Horse in Palestine. Live at the Five, Wednesday, June 9th, 7 to 9 at the Five Opera House in Palestine and right here on Classic Hits WTYE. Yeah.